Morning, church. How are we doing? Good. Good to see you all. Excited to kind of wrap up our sermon series. I feel like God has a fresh word for us here today. And I hope you came ready as we're in the sermon series, Better Together. As we are discovering together the gifts that God has given us, we are uncovering them and kind of digging them out. And we, each one of us, God's word says that each one of us has unique gifts that have been given to us and that aren't given to anybody else. And as we come together, those gifts are utilized and they're made stronger. And so join with us as we journey on this. Today we will actually look at the thesis of the talk today. The sermon is, as you discover these gifts and use these gifts will save the lives of others. They will cause others to live, and we'll explore that. Your life so others could truly live. And so we'll explore that. If you've got a Bible, let's go straight to God's word. We believe that God speaks to us today and that we get to hear from God through his word. And so if you have a Bible, if you don't, we've got our blues in the pews. You can find those and you'll have them up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, that's our gift to you. Take that home, use it, mark it up, get in it. I encourage you. So today, we're going to be, if you've been studying last week, we were in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. This week, we are in what's known as the epistles. They're just letters that were written. And Paul is writing to the Timothy, and then we also have 1 Peter. Peter's writing these letters. And so we get a glimpse of how early Christian leaders are writing to people. They're writing to other cities, to other believers. And so we get to hear their word and part of it. So we're going to be in the fours today. We're in 1 Timothy 4, we're in 2 Timothy 4, but we're going first 1 Peter 4, okay? So if you remember, like, what was Rob talking about this Sunday? Just remember the fours, okay? 1 Peter 4. Here we are. 1 Peter 4, chapter 10, and if you're not familiar with the Bible, almost towards the very end, a couple pages to the left, you can find 1 Peter. It says this, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. A lot of times we read that each of us should use whatever gift we have received on ourselves to buy more things, to use whatever gifts so we could get insta-famous, so we could get famous and have lots of followers on Facebook, Instagram. No, God says that we would use our gifts that we've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're going to explore that this morning and uncover some of these things. Here's the thing that we have to realize, that each one of us in here, he says that you have gifts, that you are a steward. Each one of us has been given gifts and that we are stewards of God's grace. So to break this down, you've been given a gift, and the word is very similar. These gifts, it's to grace. And so you've been shown grace. Each one of us, the Bible says that each one of us is not perfect. Yet God blesses us and he gives us good things, but he gives us good things not to stay with us, not for us just to enjoy on ourselves so we can have nice vacations and nice time. Those are good things. But God says, you've been a steward. You've been rescued by grace, and now your job is to show that grace to others, to extend it to others. And so this word steward, you've been given care of this. God has entrusted you with something that's precious. How will you use this? Will you use it for yourself, or will you use it to serve others? The choice is yours. And as we look and explore so much of this, that we see, it's almost uncovering and unveiling something that you already have deep within. A few years back, or maybe just about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had some buddies that we were talking, and it was like one of my bucket lists. Everyone got bucket lists. You have bucket list items, right? One of mine was to climb to the top of Half Dome. And so I had a few buddies that they knew what they were doing. I had not like the hiking type. I was just, I mean, tell me what to do. You know, I'm like going right before. It was like the day before, and they're like, hey, do you have hiking shoes? And I'm like, no, I just got my normal kicks. And they're like, you better go get some hiking shoes. I'm like, why? You know, so I just had no idea what I'm doing. And so I just kind of follow what they're doing. It's so interesting. It was about a 16-hour hike from where we started at the base. And we had to get up early. And, you know, sun's still out. It's about 3, 4 a.m. And we kind of looked like this. This isn't us. But we had the flashlights on our heads. And we were just ready to go. And so we start the hike, you know, and I'm just kind of like, it's 3 in the morning. I'm like, what? You know, just kind of, you know, zombies, walking dead. Just that's what I'm doing. And all we saw was just, there was about 5 of us going. And it kind of just looked like this. You could barely, you had the flashlight on your head, and you can barely see just the path in front of you. And so we're winding, and, you know, you just see a few steps ahead. And all of us, like, you kind of see bouncing because all of the headlamps are on our heads. And you just kind of see a bunch of flashing lights, but you don't really see much off to the side. And we're going around the bend, and we come up to this ravine, and all we continue to see is the light in front of us. And then one of my buddies says, you know what? We should all turn off our headlamps, and let's just take a look at what's around. So, click, we all turn them off. And to our amazement, we began to see this as we look off to the ravine, something similar. Just amazing beauty. And I couldn't even find the right picture to capture what we saw. The moon was just shining on the rocks. And here, we had missed this. We had missed God's beauty and the stars. All we could simply see was the few steps in front of us because we were trying to produce our own light. It made me think about this. God has given each one of you a gift, and sometimes we use it and we misuse it. It's just a little headlamp. And God says, I want you to trust. I've given you something that is beautiful. It's remarkable. Will you trust me? Will you trust me that I have given you something beautiful? Will you begin to uncover it? Will you turn off the headlamp, if you will? And that's what I'm hoping we can explore. Because here's the thing. God gifts these things. They're a gift. God calls you. And a lot of times we say, well, I'm not qualified. I don't have the right skills. God does not call those who are already qualified. God qualifies the called. If you're taking notes, write that down. That God will qualify, he will qualify the called. He will equip you. He will give you the strength you need. Because a lot of times we come and say, well, I don't have it. It's already there. It's already deep inside of you. And God wants to begin to uncover this and unleash the talent that each one of you have inside of you already. And so my hope is that we'd begin to explore this. Now, here's the thing. What we can often do is we can say, well, I'm not that sharp in a certain area. Or we can make excuses for the things that we're not good at. Or we get caught doing a whole bunch of things that we're not really good at. And so we spend our time trying to sharpen skills, trying to sharpen gifts that aren't really our gifts. Here's a good example. The University of Nebraska did a study. And they did this study on readers. And so what they found is, if we could pull up the graph, that they did, they had two groups. They had your average readers, which was about 90 words per minute. And then the group that was a natural, they were above average readers, and they would read at 350 words per minute. And so they tested these two groups, and they said, we're going to give them a speed reading class. So we're going to give it to the average group, the 90 words per minute, and then you guys right here, you're the above average. You're the chosen ones, okay? I see some of you like, yeah, that's me. I like it. So they give the speed reading course to both groups, and then with the first group, the average readers, they found that they increased 66% with this course. They were now reading, what is 66%? Somebody figure that out. I forget. 150 words per minute. And so they're figuring this out. So after they have the course, they were able to read 150 words per minute, the dark blue, the average readers. So this wasn't really a strength of theirs, but they were able to increase it 66%. That's pretty good. But the above average group, when they were tested, they were now able to read 2,900 words per minute. That's an 128% increase. It's exponential as you look at, these were naturally gifted readers. Now, if they stayed that way, if they weren't trained, if they weren't sharpening their skills, then they would have simply been about 350 words per minute, and it was still above the average readers, but they wouldn't have tapped the potential that they had. Paul writes about this very similar thing here. And go with me to 1 Timothy, just a few pages to your left. Paul is writing this to Timothy, and he says this. He's writing this note. Timothy has a gift. Timothy has the gift of preaching, and he's taught to preach God's word. And so Paul encourages him to use these gifts, and he says this. Verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. How many of us are young? Come on, everybody, state of mind. Come on, you're young. Get your hands up, okay? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Isn't that true in life? You have something, and there's always a reason that somebody can look down on you for. Somebody can always say, well, you're not qualified in this area. You're not good enough. And so there's always a reason, but Paul reminds him, and he says, no, no, no. Don't let anybody look down on you because you are young. Don't let them do this to you. Stand up, because we've talked about in the previous weeks, you and I have the same spirit that raised Christ from death to life. We're coming up on Easter, right? As we talk about when Jesus rose from the grave, that same spirit is inside of you. Don't let people tell you you aren't qualified. Don't let people tell you you are young. Don't let them say you don't have enough education. You don't have this skill set. You don't have that. You're a woman. You are too young. You this. Whatever the negative voice is, Paul says, ignore it. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. He continues, but set an example for those believers in speech, conduct, and love, and faith, and purity. Until I come, verse 13, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Here's the key, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift, which was given through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent, verse 15, in these matters. Give yourself what? Wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. So everyone will see your progress. Devote your life to them so everyone will see your progress. The University of Nebraska study, what is your strength? Hone it. Make it stronger. Don't let others tell you that you don't have that strength. Continue to pursue that strength. Continue to develop it. How does it say? Wholly, wholeheartedly, fully, be diligent in these matters. Last week we talked about Kaizen, this constant improvement. Be willing to improve. If look at this verse right there in 15, so that everyone may see your progress. Can everyone say progress? Say progress. Okay, if there's progress, that means we aren't there yet. If you are a Christian, you will always be progressing. Because sometimes in the Christian faith, we can get so upset because why don't I have this? Or why do I keep struggling with this certain sin? Or why aren't I there yet? It's a process and it takes progress. So if you have to have progress, you have to start at one level and get better. But Paul says, devote yourself to these things. Sharpen your skills. Don't get lazy about this. Fight for this. Are you sharpening your skills? Some of you might not even know that the gifts and the skills that you have, and that's okay. We'll touch on that in just a little bit. But I want us to see this. So the first point, if you're taking notes, use whatever gift you have because it's always in style. It's always in style. Flip over. Now we're going 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. He says this to Timothy. He says, Paul's writing again, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season with great patience and careful instruction. in season and out of season. When things are going good for you, Timothy, preach the word. When you're struggling, preach the word. He says, with patience and perseverance, keep doing it. Keep pushing on with great patience and careful instruction, paying attention to the craft that he has. Are you working on your craft? Are you being patient? Because if there's progress, it's going to take time. And it's not going to be perfect. Some of us are taking an assessment, and I encourage you to do this. Find a life group, take it, or you can download it online that you can find. We're doing a shape assessment that and we've borrowed it. And the P, it's an acronym, SHAPE, and the E in there, I said P, the E stands for experiences. Now God has given you, each one of you, certain experiences that you can use for God. Use, because here's the reality. A lot of people might not ever pick up a Bible. A lot of your friends might not ever come to church. They might not read God's word, but they'll read your life. They're watching your life. They might not watch a sermon online, but they might not see these things, but they're going to see the way you live. And the way you live is ever so important. And Paul's writing that. He says, preach. He says, use your gift in season and out of season, whether you feel like it or don't. So if you have been transformed by God's love, you're on a mission. You're on a mission to share God's love with others. Hey, sometimes we make these excuses as Christians, don't we? Well, I'm just not in a season. I'm in a season of just recuperating. I don't see that in here. See, whatever season you're in, use it. And that's the second point of the sermon. Let God use your experiences, the good, the bad, and everything in between. The good, the bad, and everything in between. Let me share a little story with you. A few years ago, I had an opportunity, one of my friends, some of you know my story, kind of grew up in high school. I had just my own trouble, my own pain, And a lot of ways of just partying and different things I struggled with. And one of my buddies from my partying days knew I went off to be, my life kind of got transformed and went off to be a pastor. So he's like, all right, like, you're going to do the ceremony and you're going to marry us. And so I do that. And, you know, there was, deep down inside, there was a part of him that believed, but he struggled in life. He was addicted to certain drugs, and he had got clean. You know, he had been in different rehab programs, and he was getting his life back together. And so I did some marriage counseling. And I remember one of my mentors was boasting and talking about, and it was a good thing to boast about. He said, all of the, out of the people I've married, I have something like a 98% staying married. I was going to say 98% divorce rate, but that the opposite. He had 98% people had stayed married over the years and been doing it for a long time. And so when you're a pastor, you're given this responsibility of teaching people and setting them up for a good marriage. And so I did this with them. But then months later, or years later, I came to find out that they were filing for a divorce. And it broke my heart. And I knew my buddy was continuing to struggle with drugs. And although we were 500 miles apart, I would check in every now and then, just say, how you doing? And things weren't good. And then one day I got a phone call from his mom and said, you know, Jay was struggling, and he didn't make it. He overdosed the night before. And man, it broke my heart. Here was a guy that I had poured into, and I couldn't change it. I couldn't change him. I couldn't call him out of this life. And it got to me. Because here there was somebody, this was one of my good friends. I had a voice of influence in his life, and I couldn't change the way he was living. Now the reality is we can't be responsible for everyone. Everyone has their own actions, and they take that. But there was a call in my life to help him, and there was aspects where I was busy in the things I was doing, being 500 miles away down in San Diego. And there was this weight on my life. So I didn't live up to my mentor where he had like a 98%. I had like a 50 or 23% rate. And I'm sitting here just, man. So where do I go from this moment? Do I let this handcuff me? Do I let this bind me? Do I let this control me? Or do I use this moment as a springboard? Do I use it as a springboard and say, you know what? I'm never going to let that happen again. Life, Paul talks about it in here earlier in this, in 1 Timothy 4:10, he says this, that is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all people, and especially those who believe. The Savior of all people. We need to be saved. We need to be rescued. These are life and death matters. These are issues at hand that it is not fun and games sometimes. That these are important matters. You have been given a gift and you're not called to keep it to yourself. You are called to share it. Will you let the experiences you have, will you let them define you? Will you let them hold you captive? Or will you let them, will you use them as a springboard? Now, just a caveat, if somebody's in pain and suffering, don't come to them in that moment of suffering and say, well, just use this as a springboard. Just use this as, you'll have a great story. I remember when my mom passed away, I remember some people saying, man, you're gonna have a great story. It's not the right time, bro. Right? Like having something bad, like you get an extra notch on your belt, right? Sometimes we can do this in Christian world. Enter into people's suffering and pain, but understand as you're going through that suffering, ask yourself, how can I use this? Maybe you just need to heal up. But there's other people in this world that are struggling and they're going through similar problems, and you need to share that word of hope, of encouragement with them. So will you let your experiences, will you let them enslave you? Will you let them bind you? Or will you use it as a springboard? Because from there, I have made the commitment. I have seen, as I'm with couples and sharing and preaching, as I preach, I remember that life is short. As a pastor, I see this all the time, get phone calls, so-and-so just passed away. Life is short, friends, and I see it a lot. And my call is that we would have an urgency in sharing God's love with others. If you're taking notes, there's a little box in the right-hand corner. Who are the people that God's putting on your heart? Maybe it's to invite them to Easter so that they could hear about the greatest thing that you have, which is God. It's not the latest Apple Watch. It's not the latest phone coming out. It's God. God is the greatest gift that you and I have. Are you willing to share that? Are you going to be a steward of that? Are you going to keep that to yourself? Lastly, this last point I want us to make, if you're taking notes, the last box, sharpen your gifts because others' lives depend on it. Here's the reality. We all have gifts, but I hope some of you might even be frustrated. I was like, Pastor, why are you trying to frustrate me? I'm trying. I want to frustrate you in this way, in a good way. Because some of you might not understand your gifts. The best way that you understand your gifts is actually, it's progress, is to get out and do it. You won't know if you're good at something unless you try it. In our little bulletin, pull this out. It's a little better together card. And it's got a few ways that you can explore and figure out, because we all have, there's all kinds of ways you can figure out ways that you're talented here. And you might think, well, the church is established, the church has been around, the church is thriving, and they don't need my help. Oh, yes, we do. I mean, there's so many different things, from admin, children, high school, junior high. Woo, come on, Evan. The guest turn, or guest services, greeting, serving. We're talking about dreaming about adopting schools. If you speak Spanish, we need you. We need you. I see the hands. Come on. We need you. Use these gifts that God has given you and use them for his glory. There's all kinds of ways. You can come, and this is a safe place where you can try some gifts, and it's okay to fail at them, but that we would make progress. And we come together, we truly believe as the sermon series is, that we're better together. We are stronger together. When we come together, each one of us using, I mean, look at this room. If each one of us uses our individual gifts, God has uniquely shaped us and wired us where we're all different and we bring different aspects to the table, and God kind of weaves us together like this beautiful mosaic that he pulls together, an orchestra, fine-tuning, and he pulls us together. Imagine the things that we can accomplish together. Let me call up Tessa. Tessa Steele, Tessa and Brandon love this couple here at our church. And Tessa's grandmother, and actually her grandma-in-law, Carol Peterson, had recently passed away. And as we did the funeral here, do we have this mic on? Can we use that? Mark's giving me the thumbs up. I'll give that to you as, let me introduce this. Tessa, thank you for being brave and sharing this. Tessa's grandma-in-law had treated her just like a granddaughter and loved her. And just continued to live a life of modeling. Well, I'm going to stop talking. Actually, let's hear, Tessa, let's hear from you in this story.
A few years ago, Carol's sister Benna attended her 50th reunion at Moses Lake High School. The former vice president, Dick Dean, was hosting the tour, and Benna could tell he had been around the school for a few years. Wondering if he may have remembered Carol, she asked if he recalled a Carol Hoffman. He spun to face Benna and said Carol Hoffman was the most beautiful girl he ever knew, and she was his angel. Then he told Benna this story. Dick and his twin brother Dan lived in a very troubled home in Moses Lake, Washington. One day, when they were 7 years old, a man in a bus came around asking neighborhood children if they wanted to go to Sunday school. Dick and Dan's parents were happy to be rid of them for a few hours, so off they went. The Sunday school teacher was a 14-year-old girl who told them four things. God loves you, I love you, you are important, and you have a purpose in life. That 14-year-old girl was Carol. Dick had never before heard those four things, and they changed his life. Dick and Dan couldn't wait to go back to church on Sunday and learn more from this 14-year-old angel, who also fed them graham crackers. Dick gave his life to Christ and went on to attend college and became a PE teacher and coach at Moses Lake High School. Every year on the first day of school, in every class, he would line the students up and tell them four things. God loves you, I love you, you are important, and you have a purpose in life. One of Dick's students was a boy named John Lane, who, like Dick, took this life-changing words to heart. John also went on to become a teacher and the wrestling coach at Frontier Middle School, a Moses Lake junior high. On February 2nd, 1996, a 14-year-old student walked into the class dressed as a Wild West gunslinger and armed with several guns and 89 rounds of ammunition, barricaded himself in the classroom, and he shot and killed two students and a teacher. Hearing the gunfire, John broke down the door and subdued the student before he could kill anyone else. When asked why he rushed in and risked his life to confront the shooter, John said that many years ago he learned four things. God loves you, I love you, you are important, and you have a purpose in this life. He said, stopping the boy that day was my purpose in life.
Thank you, Tessa. Appreciate you sharing that. What a tragic, come on, give it up. Yep. What a tragic situation. You see hope from generation to generation that was passed down. A 14-year-old girl had the ability to change generations, had the ability to save lives. It makes me think about each one of us. How many of us can say those four simple lines? God loves you. I love you. You are important and you have a purpose. John knew his purpose, and his purpose that day was to stop and save more lives. Friends, I can't even explain how important it is without being sensitive to the subject. We live in life and death matters. life and death, and even far more, representing all of eternity. There's people out there that need to hear that God loves them. Maybe you need to hear that this morning, that God loves you. Maybe you've been going through this difficult experience and you're trapped and you feel like, where is God in this situation? Maybe you need to hear that hope here this morning. Or maybe you need to be the one walking alongside beside somebody and saying, God loves you. I love you. You are important and you have a purpose. What would this community look like if we began to share that story? If we took bold steps of faith, whether it's parking, I always say the sermon doesn't start right here. The sermon starts in the parking lot. It starts on our campus as people are ushered in to God's presence because they are coming to hear God's word, and God has a word for them, and it starts by simply with a smile, encouraging somebody, giving a hug here in this community. Well, how can God use your gifts for the kingdom? God used a 14-year-old girl to transform and shape many lives. How can God use you in powerful ways? Would you be willing to take a bold step of faith to begin to discover? If you have this, we will have baskets out here. I encourage you to just put your name on it, and as we're singing this last song, maybe God putting on your heart, I want to begin to explore my gifts. I want to step out, and I can make a difference in somebody's life. In fact, I will make a difference in somebody's life. And it starts here. And it starts exploring your gifts, whether succeeding or failing. Would you consider writing your name and dropping this in the box? If you need some time to think about this, that's okay. You can email serve@wilshireav.com. But I encourage you, make that decision now. Don't put it off, whether you're in season or out of season. These issues matter. Let me end with this. Paul says this in verse 16. Watch your life in 1 Timothy 4. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You, as you make progress on your gifts, you will sharpen them, and you have the ability to impact your hearers, the people that are reading your life, your readers, if you will. You will save them by the way you live your life, by the simple words you share. Maybe it's four sentences. Maybe it's just an encouragement. Maybe it's a smile. How can you share with somebody by serving them, by helping them? Would you explore these gifts? Because it matters for others' lives, and it matters for us as we come together and serve others. Would you pray with me? Father, maybe some of us need to stop right now, and maybe we haven't trusted that you love us. Lord, maybe this is a place where we can come and hear about your love for the first time. Or maybe we've been running from you. Maybe this moment is the moment that we say, I surrender. I've been living my life for myself and I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I want to begin serving you. I want to begin to use the gifts that you've given me. God, may we unleash, may we uncover these gifts, because others' lives depend on it. Father, for some of us that believe, may we take steps of faith and trusting you today that through you we can accomplish all things. Father, no matter how big or how small, we have the potential to make an amazing impact. Father, show us, reveal to us what this community would look like if we took just a bold step, no matter how small that step is. Maybe that step starts today. May we trust you each and every moment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.